Objection! Welcome to another edition of Objection, the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery. I am Judge David Johnson. Judge Dan Mancini is here, and I believe he's probably got, a refrigerator Perry jersey on right now? Or is it a McMahon jersey? What is it?
I'm actually wearing the Urlacher.
The Urlacher, okay. So, yeah. Screw
I've,
tradition.
I've moved into the modern era. Yeah. Exactly.
So you will be doing the Super Bowl shuffle if they manage to get past the Packers, though, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So, yes, it is the championship week here. So, we're catching Dan either before intense elation or crushing disappointment. We'll see what happens. We're going to go with intense elation. That's our prediction. So, and seeing that the team I was kind of pulling for got punked, that's unfortunate. So, I will say that either NFC winner has my full-throated support in the Super Bowl because whoever comes out of the AFC can bite me. So I want either the Bears or the Packers. I'll take either one. So so there, I would be a Bears fan in spirit with you. You know,
very nice.
Surrogate Bears fan. So, and at the very least, if the Bears do win and win it all, I could take like the worthless loser comfort in saying, well, the Patriots beat the Super Bowl champions in the regular season. That'd be the only thing I can do.
I'd be able to not do. Not just beat them, but pretty much slaughter them during the regular season.
I was reading a stat that said like all four remaining teams, the Patriots had defeated by an average of 22 points. You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, what the heck happened? Yeah. So it was nuclear winter in New England last week.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a weird postseason.
It has been. So I'm not fully into the Patriots as much as I am into like the Knicks per se, which unfortunately is a tortured path to travel. But it is amazing how deeply emotional you get connected to this thing, especially with the Jets being so loudmouthed. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I may be either dancing or weeping.
I know.
Yeah, and if I was a Steelers fan, I'd be terrified. Right?
I think so.
I mean, the Jets seem like they're nothing, but they've taken out Manning and Brady at this point. So what?
It is definitely noteworthy. I mean, you cannot, and we'll get a little off topic here, but yeah, I mean, just they are definitely playing well. It is amazing. I mean, I think those guys, as goofy as that head coach is, those guys will lay down in traffic for him. So, it's like this weird collection of a-hole talent, and it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the lesson learned from last week is never make fun of the opposing coach's foot fetish publicly. Because it just motivates the other team.
That said coach brings it entirely upon himself.
Yes, yeah, totally.
I mean, it's not like this was like a secret tape leaked. He posted it on YouTube. So, I don't know. Either way, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I would be scared if I were the Steelers as well. But either or. Between Roethlisberger and his questionable moral fabric, and that entire Jets team, it's gonna be a tough to root for any of those guys. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing is, you can pretty much say that a bunch of douches will win for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, which collection of douches that is. Is up for grabs.
Absolutely. I mean, it really will be. I mean, I know there's a big Steelers fan contingent. It seems like everyone loves being Steelers fans, which I wonder if that's just because people grew up, like, you know, a lot of the boomers followed the Steelers in the 70s and then just.
Yeah, Mean Joe Green and everything.
The rest of the way. That's what which is, you know, that is there's probably some truth to that. Maybe a lot of Bears fans from the mid 80s, you know, who kind of grew up with that. And, you know, perhaps down the road you'll see a lot of Patriots fans, kids who kind of grew up in the 2000s. So I think there's something generational about that. But, yeah, no matter who comes out of the NFC, I mean, they're not going to be a quarter of the douche, of the douche ranking that the winner of the AFC. Yeah, we'll see. Make it interesting. Anyway, that's enough sports talk for objections. So we're going to tear through this so we can get Dan in his pregame meditation mode. But we thought we would bring back kind of our traditional going against the consensus, so to speak. And what better way than to revisit the topic that started it all, and that is the glory and magnitude of Predator 2. Now, we briefly talked about Predator 2 when we mentioned Harrigan as being our top badass African-American character. But we were thinking that this is kind of like a comparison now, comparing Predator 2 to Predators, you know, which came out last year. It was the ballyhooed reboot or restart of the franchise. And there were some controversial things uttered about our favorite little Gary Busey / Danny Glover / Alien Monster movie, Dan.
Yeah, I went back and looked it up because, you know, Robert Rodriguez, who produced Predators, kind of badmouthed Predator 2, yeah, said that he was going to that in making Predators, they ignored Predator 2 and they ignored the Alien versus Predator movie.
Which is an insult.
In the second.
That you would group Predator 2 with those pathetic AVP movies, you know?
Exactly. So I went back and I looked to see, you know, exactly what he had said. And frankly, it makes no sense to me. Because, in quoting him, he said, Predator 2 was slightly in the future, and that maybe pulled you that much further away from the characters that you could not relate to them because they were not current. That makes absolutely no sense. It was set in 1997 in L.A. How is that less relatable to a bunch of convicts and Yakuza dudes and stuff like
with
that
Earth
on an alien planet?
So, yes. So this kind of ignited our, I guess... It set off the Predator 2 automatic defense mechanism that's ingrained in both of us. So we thought we would compare the two. And Dan, I was thinking we would take an aspect, you know, an aspect from the movie, compare both of them and see how they stack up. And this would be kind of our definitive Predator 2 versus Predators list. And I think Predator 2 still gets the short end of the stick. And Predators is probably held in higher esteem, maybe, I would say.
I mean, even though, you know, Predators is not held in really high
regard. Yeah, in fact, I'll open it up by saying Predators is one of the few movies I paid to go see in the theater last year. I left liking it okay. I reviewed it for the site recently. Liked it kind of less, actually. Felt I did not take away the whole I paid money for this movie, so I'm going to really like it. You know that you add like 5 or 10%, you know, whenever you go see a movie in the theater, because, you know, I try to say I'm going to get my money's worth. But watching Predators again kind of revealed a mediocre movie. So let's just take this – let's compare the two, Dan. We'll start right off with the main hero. So why don't you kick us off? And Dan and I are going to toss these back and forth to each other, so this will be a little improv-y. But the main hero, Predator 2, Predators. Let's compare them and see who has the edge.
Yeah, main here. I mean, for me, I actually like Brody in Predators.
I do too.
I think he's, you know, he's got a good air of mystery about him. I like his cold bloodedness. He's willing to sacrifice others in order to survive and everything. But you know, he does not bring it to the Predators like Harrigan does.
I mean,
I just don't think there's a comparison between the
nope,
two.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, like as proactive, you know.
Right.
I mean, in fact, because. You know, Brody, who, again, I like, and I like the fact that you wouldn't typically think of him as an action guy, and he obviously got into it. Yeah, you know, I appreciated that. I mean, juiced up, and he got into it. But, I mean, you know, if we recall, he was almost going to jump on the ship and fly out of there, and he just kind of turned around, and not like Harrigan, who just goes after the Predators, and we talked about this last week, for no other reason than just to screw them over, you know?
Right.
It's just personal between them. Brody, and it's noteworthy, but he goes back because, you know, he wants to kind of help his friends out, you know. And then there's probably a little bit of screw you, too, in there. But, I mean, as far as just, like, taking it to him, and there's zero practical reason why you should, you know. Harrigan gets it there.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I guess on my side of things, what I'll throw out there is setting.
Setting, right? Excellent. Yeah, well, I mean, again, I'm going to go with Predator 2 because, simply put, even though this was an alien preserve, right, it was still very much the jungle that we were used to in the first Predator. In fact, that's kind of my central criticism of Predators. It just doesn't do enough new stuff to really kind of grab you, whereas in Predator 2, everything is completely whacked out and new. So you can't get much different than a jungle than, you know, L.A., in 1997, which is overrun by Jamaican cocaine dealers, you know. And plus, you know, and the city setting just gives you more cool stuff you can do with a Predator. You can have him climb skyscrapers and get struck by lightning. You can have him run over news vans, run through subways. There's just more stuff for him to play around with. I mean, really, the jungle is just limiting in what you can do. So, I'm gonna go. You gotta go with L.A.
Yeah, and I think you're right that Predators doesn't bring as much new to the table. And what it brings new to the table is oftentimes pretty lame, like the super predators.
Right.
Do we really need like another species of
predators?
Well,
that's my trend.
Was in conflict with the first species of predators.
Well, that was going to be my next one too. So the new stuff brought to the table. So I'll let you build on that. The new stuff brought to the advancement, like stuff we haven't seen in the previous movies in between Predator 2 and Predators. So I'll let you run with that. As you be
right. I mean, yeah, in Predators you have the super predators, which are just bigger and they fight.
They have an extended
the old predators, and it just gives them an excuse for Brody to kind of use the traditional predator at the end to seemingly escape without giving anything away. But to me, you know, the Predator 2 brings to it some pretty cool new weaponry.
Yep.
You got that disc thing.
Yes, the Bucifier.
Right, exactly. That I think that is what it's officially called, the Bucifier. And then, of course, you have the alien skull.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, predators have been hunting aliens, which is pretty incredibly badass.
Well, think about it, too. I mean, as far as, like, peering into the mythology of the predators, each one, you know, just the race of, you know, for predators, we get, okay, they got this game preserve, and apparently the super predators hunt regular predators or something like that. You know, that was kind of the big thing. Whereas, so, okay, it's like, okay, even though I tend to think if you super any of your creatures, you're kind of jumping the shark already, you know? So, like, right, you know, in Alien Resurrection, you had kind of the newborn alien, which is like the super alien, you know, which rips apart the queen. And to me, that's just like, okay, enough already.
And that thing was creepy.
But in Predator 2, talk about an awesome reveal. Just, all we think is, oh, he's only one predator. And then, like, eight of those guys show up, right? And it's, they respect Harrigan for just bringing it. So, you know, all of a sudden, you get a whole new look at what the predator species is all about, you know?
Last we knew of him, he
just blew himself up when they got beaten, you know? This one, you know, they'll give you the respect.
Yeah, and in Predators, I mean, they have lame CG dogs.
Yes.
Or whatever that they hunt with and stuff. And if you're going to do the super predator thing, what they should have done was said that the big ones are adults.
That would have been freaky.
Like, you know, saying...
That's not bad.
The ones that have been hunting people on Earth are adolescents that have been sent there to prove, you know, it's sort of a rite of passage into manhood, and you've never even seen
a full-on badass
predator until
those.
Now.
And then watch out.
That would have been awesome.
Absolutely, yeah, great suggestion. And in fact, I mean, I thought that was a missed opportunity. You briefly had the predator kind of fighting on your side, you know, and that was kind of cool, but it was just. I don't know, they beat on each other, and then he kind of died and stuff. So it wasn't as awesome as you'd love to see, like, a predator kind of, you know, teamed up with a protagonist. And you know, like, I felt like between – I thought it was cooler as far as the predator supporting the protagonist when the main chieftain there in Predator 2 tossed Harrigan the pistol, you know, than just the other predator and predators just kind of – act like a punching bag for about 5 minutes. You know, to me, it was like, ooh, that's cooler than that. So,
yeah. Yeah. And Harrigan it's believable that predators would respect and dig him and partner up
with
him because, you know, he's awesome. I guess the next one would be Kills.
Kills. Oh, good.
You know, which movie has better kills?
Good one. Which movie has better kills? I guess we're going to, I got to keep the trend rolling with, like, Predator 2 has more memorable kills to me. You know, I mean, like in Predators, you had, I will say Lawrence Fishburne's detonation was pretty cool. So Fishburne getting exploded wasn't bad at all. But
Trejo getting, you know, cut in half and then left out to cry out in pain.
That wasn't bad either. You know,
that's pretty awesome.
That's true. In fact, probably the best kill in Predators, and this kind of takes away from it, was I thought, Topher Grace being booby-trapped by Adrian Brody, you know?
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome because you actually hated Topher Grace more than any of the Predators. And so when you blew him up, that was cool. But you can't count that because a Predator didn't do it. I mean, Predator 2 has one of the top kills in the franchise, even though the first Predator probably owns a lot of those. But in Predator 2, you have the beautification. You have that, which is just unbelievable. I mean, it really, every time I watch it, it's like the Johnny Depp scene in Nightmare on Elm Street. There's just more and more blood, it seems, than I remember the first time I watched it, you know? So he just, an amazing amount of blood in the beautification system.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we talked about this in our inaugural episode, but I like the King Willie.
Oh, that's right. Kill.
I mean, it's not graphic or anything, but I love that cutaway to, you know, the head in King Willie's head in the Predator's hand.
And then Bill Paxton bites it nicely, you know. You got the Sub-Zero Mortal Kombat fatality at the back of the subway. And then in the very beginning, it really sets, you know, the whole beginning of Predator 2, where all those drug dealers, the gangsters, just get wiped out, you know, completely.
Yeah. You got the hanging bodies. I mean, you didn't really have that much in Predator.
Yeah, I mean, like there was the that Russian guy. He bought it. Okay, actually, and then I guess it was Walton Goggins' character, the convict. He got his spine ripped out from his back, I believe. That was pretty harsh too. So, but as far as just memorable ones, I think Predator 2. There was just so much more cannon fodder for him to wipe out. So.
Yeah. I mean, again, the urban setting pays off.
The urban setting pays off, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, how about this? How about build up to the reveal, you know, of the actual Predator?
Yeah, I'm trying to think even in Predators.
Well, yeah, the first reveal, you know, what the reveal, the actual, was. The full-scale reveal of the Predator, and this was another big complaint of the movie, but it was when they found him tied up, where they found the one Predator tied
up. Yeah, that's right.
But again, though, it's like, we know what the Predator looks like. You know, we've seen these movies before. Like, I never understood why they took so long trying to generate this suspense over what's hunting them and where they are and stuff. You know, we knew that from like the posters and the trailers. So, you know, that just never quite clicked with me. Predator 2, I think, you get a lot of glimpses, you know, you got a lot of invisible glimpses, but I mean, I mean, he really isn't like, just fully, I mean, when do you actually just see him in Predator 2? Just fully out there.
I'm trying to think. The first reveal is it in the subway?
With Paxton? You get the splashes. You do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really isn't like it's towards Busey and his crowd, you know, sieging him, and then eventually. When it's mano a mano, it's just all, you know, it's just all Predator. So, and then you're just kind of up until that point, we'd never, I mean, you just get the whole costume guy for a long, intimate period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. After, cause doesn't Glover damage his camouflage?
That's true. That's true.
And then after that, it's full on Predator for the rest of the movie.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's mainly glimpses and stuff. And you have that creepy scene with the kid in the park and stuff. That's pretty awesome. Because he kind of, you know, gives the kid a pass.
That's right.
And everything.
Because the kid's got the fake gun too, I think, right?
Right. Pointing at him and he sort of figures out, oh, it's just a toy. And this is just a child one, so I won't bother killing it. Yeah. Definitely awesome. Well, I guess, which movie has the best ensemble?
Yeah, great one. Kind of like your, who's the rest of the cast? And I mean, to me, it's Predator 2 for sure. Even though they're supposed to be stereotypes in Predators, I mean, they're supposed to be. They're like chosen to beat because they're stereotypes. But it's still... And again, I know it's contrived because it's a natural, it's a preserve, and they're all kidnapped for a specific reason. But it just seems so contrived. I don't know, like the Yakuza, the psychopath, the criminal, the Russian guy with the Gatling gun, the badass South Central American, you know, mercenary or whatever. I don't know. It was so contrived, and really, no one was terribly interesting. I have a man crush on Walton Goggins because I think he's legendary in all the TV and all the stuff he does. And he kind of bored me. So, I mean, again, Lawrence Fishburne was the only kind of quirky guy. And I agree with you about Brody. He was kind of cool. But then that all devolved into, like, the whole independent stuff devolved into a very special Saved by the Bell episode where you realize you have to have friends to help you through it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And most of them are pretty pretty nondescript.
I mean, the Yakuza guy did nothing for me. The whole I really did not like the sword fight in the weeds. I thought that was lame too. I don't know, just so contrived.
No, visually it was really, you know, you have this whole long tradition in Japanese film of samurai films and stuff of, you know, people pretty gruesomely, you know, getting cut in half or their heads cut off or, you know, whatever, and geysers of blood and everything. And you would think that someone like with Rodriguez producing that scene would play on that tradition a little bit. And instead it's just a really dry, bloodless kill. Yeah, you're right. It was just it's kind of lame.
So yeah, and then but on the other side, I mean, come on, you got Bill Paxton, you know,
yeah,
who's just fantastic in this. You got you do have the spunky Latina badass, which is great.
Yeah,
But I mean, really, it begins and ends with Gary Busey, just a fan. Uh-huh. I mean, come on, Gary Busey, just great in that.
Yeah, he's insane as always. And, yeah, just very entertaining. Great foil to Danny Glover. And just excellent. And King Willie. I mean, he's probably not part of the main. Well, no, I would count him as part of the main ensemble. Because it's a memorable kill.
Right.
And he's definitely causing trouble in the city. And, you know. And Morton Downey Jr.
Oh, and Morton, yeah.
Hey, come on.
Right.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay, here we go. Predator death scene.
Yeah, again, you know, yeah, the Predator 2 is awesome. I mean, it's a well-earned scene because of the fact that Danny Glover really pursues the Predator. And it, you know, it's an extended period where he's chasing that Predator.
And it was just on, it was just on 2 hours ago on Encore Mystery Channel for some reason. So I just saw that very last showdown.
Well, yeah, and it's probably on there because it's a mystery as to why so many people don't love this movie as much as they should. And then Predators, you know, it didn't really even do as good a job as the original Predator in terms of, I mean, one of the features of the franchise is that moment where the hero takes it to the Predator and, you know, it just didn't, I mean, you do have the Topher Grace kill, which is pretty awesome. And it is a great payoff to how completely cold-hearted Brody's character is, but not as satisfying.
And I mean, and I liked Brody kind of being, you know, he takes that little axe and he just whacks a mole. You know, he goes crazy, right. And then, you know, he takes the head off, which is sweet. But the whole running through the fire thing just is a little too weird, I thought. And then, of course, and you had the cliched wounded partner grabs her sniper rifle, you know, puts a bullet through the Predator. You know, so that was a little cliche. I mean, there was really nothing about Predator 2. I mean, everything was surprising to me. It was all surprising. The fact that he chased him. The fact that he survived that fall from the elevator shaft
onto
the ship. I mean, everything. The trophy room, the reveals, and then the death. It was just a dirty, personal, up-close, one-on-one death scene, Predator 2.
Yeah,
which has yet to be eclipsed. Even though I can't remember any of the AVPs at all. So,
and it's great because the Predator tries to kill himself, right? When they're hanging on the thing, and Glover doesn't let him, and then goes and kills
him.
That's
right.
You know, he does not let him.
That's right.
Set off his nuclear wristband.
Oh man! Well, we probably have time for a couple more here. So any.
Oh, I'm trying. Okay, let's see. We've done ensemble characters. I don't know. You got one?
Let's see. How about? Okay. How about? Let's see. How about best one-liner from a supporting cast member?
Oh man. We have all Paxton stuff.
All Paxton stuff. I love his joke that he tells the girl about the underwear.
Yeah.
Gary Busey, lions, tigers, bears. Oh, my.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't even think of a one-liner.
That's right. There you go.
You know.
That's I'll that was my whole point anyway. It was an impossible answer because there are no
memorable. It's a trick question. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I'll say this for Predators, though. You know, if Rodriguez hadn't gone down that path of dissing Predator 2, you know, the movie works a lot better as the third entry in the series. You know, it's kind of a nice, there's a nice symmetry. If you watch them in order to it kind of returning in style to the first one. But as a direct sequel to the first one, it's too much of a remake. It just doesn't work.
And I just don't think we saw enough new stuff in Predators. There was just not enough new stuff to advance the reason why you'd have a sequel anyway. Even though, I understand the direct sequel thing, but still, it's not even the Predator's homeworld. So you're not getting that. You're getting kind of Earth, whatever. Earth with two moons or something. So, and some crates that fall out of the sky. So, you know, nothing hugely revealing like that. So, I don't know. I just want to see something something nuts. If they're going to do another Predator movie, just, you know.
Yeah, take us to the homeworld.
Take us to the homeworld.
Have a human being there.
And, maybe the Predators are under attack from other, another space, like an extraterrestrial that's hunting them. So they call into action Dutch and Harrigan to be special consultants.
Yeah, there you go. Or maybe, James Cameron could direct it and you could have Stephen Lang go there to exterminate all Predators.
That's right.
With his shoulder.
And then we'd really struggle to feel who do we feel bad for, Right. Which again, speaking of
– who's worse?
You're bringing up Avatar. Let me ask you this. If the Na'vi looked like Predators, would we be upset about all the tree genocide? Yeah. No.
Right. No. When they're toddlers on fire, no.
If they were ugly, not at Predators, all. No.
Yeah.
Well, the last thing I'll say about Predators in general, Dan, I thought you'd get a kick out of this. I was in the mall the other night, and there's a store that kind of does like a lot of, stuff from around the world. So you got a lot of like Asian decorative stuff, a lot of interior decorative items. And there was a metal Predator sculpture. And it was, it's hard to describe, but it wasn't like a giant action figure. Someone just took a lot of metal and copper or whatever and just molded it into a giant Predator sculpture.
Nice.
$240 though. And that was marked down. So it's a little too costly, I think. I probably get the whole Predator ensemble costume for that much, but,
Right. Yeah. So, even if it was like $5, I don't think I'm sneaking that.
Yeah. I don't, there's no place.
The decor.
Yeah. There's no place you can put that it fits into it. So
I think I would have better luck, introducing like a Velvet Elvis into the house than a bronze Predator.
Yeah, sounds great on paper, but in practice, not so much.
Yeah, nah.
All right, well, looking at the data, which was, there's no emotion in this. This was science. This is purely empirical. I think.
We put aside our biases.
We have no biases here. Absolutely. this is straight up a-hole science. And the winner is Predator 2 again, so congratulations. Predators, we don't hate you, but you just don't quite measure up. So next time, please don't go dissing the Harrigan.
I know.
You do not want to take on that Harrigan gambit, my friend. No.
No. No, you do not.
All right, Dan. Good luck. Good luck today. Hopefully the Bears and Packers turn into a good game, and hopefully the ending is something as awesome as don't worry, a-hole, you'll get another shot.
Yeah, otherwise this may be our last
show. It might be our last show. So anyway, what's the last thing we got to say here?
Thanks, 10 points easy. Oh, shit!